Ken coming back from the after show. Bitbutter's had his bathroom break. Toast is getting a beer. Chill back and relax with us if you're listening live or you're on the podcast. Bitbutter's had a little time to contemplate, and kind of after foregoing some of his own intellectual rigor, he's gonna take his full attempt at being a statist.
I'm really bad statist. So I was just saying that this question is so difficult because any statist argument I can think of, in my mind at least, has a really good counter argument that invalidates it straight away. But if I had to choose, then it would be along the lines of without the state, the desperately poor have no guarantee of a safety net. There you go.
Right.
It's lousy.
I do. I mean, my first thought is always there's a guarantee with the safety net.
Right.
That's a good rebuttal. But yeah, I mean, just where does that guarantee doesn't seem to be working right now.
Well, when people bring the whole, you know, the state is the safety net and blah, 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 I get re-etra and the state gives money and stuff like that. Is my audio bad?
Ah, I can hear you now.
Yeah, apparently there seems to be a problem with the Mumble server. It might be a good idea to switch to using our own Mumble server for the next show. It's kind of weird, though, because I like to use voluntarius.net as a Mumble server. It is a cool Voluntarius Mumble server, after all.
So, can you say your reply to the lousy argument again?
Sure. So the lousy argument that people make when, you know, they say that the state is the safety net and et cetera, makes me really angry first, and then I just take a deep breath and say, you know, well, how do you know that the state is a safe social safety net? And then people say, well, duh, do you know that the state gives money to the poor? And then I just start asking questions like, okay, so how do you know that giving money to the poor actually solves their problem? Actually, their problem, right? Not their immediate need, because their immediate need could be solved in many ways. I mean, they could rob someone and then they would solve their immediate need, but you wouldn't agree to that, would you? And therefore a conversation kind of develops there. But oftentimes I just go with, you know, it's great that you have a great idea to solve the needs of the poor, but I can't accept your idea because your idea involves robbing people. And then with the other person say, well, it's not theft, and I say, well, it is to me, convince me otherwise. And then I change the subjects, change, and then I have them on my ground instead of me having to battle on their mud turf.
Right.
You know, by the way, are we in an after show? I just got back.
We are. I got my beer way faster than you, by the way.
I made a gin and tonic, and that involved cutting a lime and time-intensive things.
All right. You're classy. You're good.
Yeah, man. One of the things I've been trying recently is, and maybe this just comes from having taught math for a while now, that one of the things I try to do in conversations is that I try to build up the other person's, like, kind of confidence in their own beliefs. That I don't know how effective this will be, but just that, you know, a person thinks that they've elaborately come to the belief that they have. Everyone thinks that there's a lot of thinking and motivation behind what it is they believe, and often there actually is. But
there always is. I mean, yeah, it could be stupid by our standards, but there always is. And if you, I mean, I like what you're saying. I mean, if you invalidate who they are as a person, who they feel that they are, that person is not going to listen to you.
Yeah. So, like, whether it's kind of fakey or not, I mean, just asking them questions about kind of like the things that they value. Life is how it is. In one of her videos, she made a really good point that, you know, even if you're not genuinely interested, and actually being genuinely interested is kind of something she thinks a skill you can develop. But even if it's just fake, asking the person specifically, like, well, you know, what matters a lot to you? Why do you think that, like, consensus is a really important thing? And having them explain for themselves, sort of, I think that's not only like a conversation de-escalator, which often really helps, but it makes them kind of just feel acknowledged.
Yeah.
Bitbutter, sorry, I have a little bit of food in my mouth. What about the words you put? You put little words to Google at the end of your videos. Is that a hard choice? Do you kind of fear that you might be kind of giving away what side you're on, quote-unquote side?
Yeah, it's a good point. It does work that way. It's like that's the, you know, showing my hand more or less at the end. Which kind of that does close things down in a sense. But hopefully, with it being right at the end, it's not too bad. And it does seem like the right thing to do to offer people who are interested in this stuff further places to go.
Yeah, you allow someone who's just kind of crossed that line, so to speak, you help them further down the rabbit hole. Someone who's not quite there, that might give them pause and make them reel back. I can see why it's a hard decision to make. I saw it and I kind of was like, I flinched. I was like, do I want those words? I'm just thinking like, right. What, you know, in communication, would I do that? And I'm like, well, you made a pretty compelling case with the video. So yeah, there's no perfect answers, but I guess it's fun. That's kind of where the game lies. It's kind of what the game we're playing, I guess, when we're making creative stuff.
Yeah, I think it's a good choice ultimately. That something you never want to do in person, especially, is come off as though you're trying to evangelize or sell something specific, sell a label. Because I think people have these innate defenses against that. You know, it's, oh, he's coming and he's going to preach me something. He's going to learn me something. But if you kind of, without all that pretext of I'm selling this specific ideology, and they hear the kind of central logic, they hear the George ought to help logic going on, then they sort of, they'll be more receptive to it because they haven't turned on their defenses.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. That's what I'm hoping for, that they will be in a frame of mind from which they can give these resources also an open-minded look.
And then we open up the inevitable debate. I think I've even seen you discuss this. Should we make it, should we say voluntarism? How should we spell it? Wait, doesn't voluntarism mean something else? But voluntarism sounds weird. there's no perfect answers to any of this, but
I really don't know. I guess I'm not super attached to the label. I think it works fine. Either of them. If I use one, I use voluntarist, which is kind of awkward, but yeah, there you go. I think the word voluntary, like the word freedom and the word liberty, is a strongly contested concept, I guess. And it maybe raises more questions than it answers when you use it.
I'm a voluntary institutionalist.
Yeah, you know, I've had people tell me straight up that after I explained what voluntarism is, and I actually stopped using the label really shortly after this, I had a conversation in real life where I sort of described myself as a voluntarist. Oh, really? What's that? You know, well, it's this belief that all relationships should be ultimately voluntary and that, you know, consent is very important, all things like that. I don't remember how I defined it in person, but then the person just looks at me like, but everyone believes that. I mean, how are you making yourself distinct? Are you implying that I'm not, that, like, for example, our relationship isn't voluntary somehow? And right. That's kind of the implication, isn't it? Because they vote for your taxes to be raised. Yeah. That if a person can read in that far, it's kind of almost like attacking them in a way. And I think I stopped using it after that. And admittedly, most people, you don't get that reaction from most people. Most people just kind of like agree generally.
Yeah. Yeah. I think, am I pronouncing it right? Anarin in the chat? Anarin? I frequently said that property rights aren't voluntary. And that's also what my feeling is as well. It reduces to differences of opinion on property rights and how property should be allocated. That's, for me, the core of it all.
Yeah, I suppose I agree as well. But I mean, what I more frequently say is that maybe voluntary isn't the best way to like describe the qualities of relationships that I find acceptable. I don't know. Maybe it's not in the sense that I like say that the context of voluntariness is wrong. I don't know. I'm not describing that well at all.
No, I think I follow. Like you could have a world of, I don't know, a possible world of Edgar the Exploiters with workers living in terrible conditions, and their employment could be voluntary, and they would be in a shitty situation. So that's not, you know, that in itself isn't enough to strive for.
There's an infamous Roto post that probably a lot of us internet nerds have seen already, or at least I know it got reposted, where he talked about that situation where that you describe, where there's, okay, acknowledge, you know, knowingly a shitty situation, but the fact that person, the rich capitalist, I guess, from the your one video, you know, offers a job to the person that's voluntary, there's one more option available to that person. So it's pretty much like in mathematical impossibility for you to say that their life got worse because of it. There was one more option, I guess. Like there's the number of opportunities are bigger.
Yeah, absolutely.
As far as, I mean, and just to weigh in with you guys, I like everything I've heard. It's good discussion. And on the concept of voluntary or voluntarism, I'm kind of with you, BitButter. I'll use either of them based on the situation. I might try it. Like if I want to really hit home this idea of it's voluntary, like hit the person over the head, like they're not gonna get it. And like you said, know your audience. You know, I say voluntaryism. You know, you make sure they get the word. Voluntarism sounds a little bit more sleek. If you're really splitting hairs, you know, I might stay away from those terms. It's not how I'm going to define myself in like a, you know, intellectual terms or lofty internet discussion. But for talking to, you know, people on the street, if you're playing like a pickup basketball game or you're playing video games or you're, you know, talking to some girl at the bar or something, you don't want to use those high-minded words. It's picking something like voluntaryism, something that like, oh, I already am that. Like, oh, there we go. We have common ground. Like,
well, yeah.
You could always say something to the effect of, I am not shooting other people who disagree with me-ism, right?
Yeah,
there's a lot of hyphens in there.
Even that's not really true.
It's kind of true.
Because the armed robber perhaps disagrees with you.
Yeah.
I totally shoot him, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, when it comes down to it, that's going to be wrong.
Yeah, I would do a similar thing. I think I would prefer to say something along the lines of, I am in favor of not threatening peaceful people with violence. But of course, there's a whole set of assumptions about what violence means and what peaceful people means. For me, it's like that's... I don't know. It's a compromise. It's a good enough way to broach the subject. Works a little bit better than me. Better as far as I'm concerned. To voluntarism.
A bit better. Yeah, and it goes back to showing your hand. I mean, as long as I don't betray what category I'm in, because I know that it's not going to be understood by other people the same way I understand it, I feel like I'm doing well.
Yeah, yeah.
I think I came to a conclusion on the whole voluntary thing, given a couple minutes to think now, that, and it is sort of a cop-out, but maybe voluntarism isn't maybe that applicable in sort of the current incarnation of governmental society. That, like, the example I thought of was that you've all heard of the poverty draft, the people who are economically not very well off and don't have many skills are often influenced to join the military because that's sort of a pretty stable way to get a paycheck right now.
Right.
And that you could say that people are following their best options. They're following that incentive, that they are voluntarily joining the military. But, I mean, in any economic transaction, anytime you follow incentives, the society, there are guns that are being pointed at people in a lot of those steps.
Sure.
So, I mean, when we say that, well, when you apply to work for some evil corporation, yeah, you're voluntarily agreeing to an employment contract, but there are guns involved.
Yeah. Yeah, anytime there's law involved, there's guns involved. And this is what bothers me a little bit about this idea of, you know, the phrase, the gun in the room. There's a gun in the libertarian room too. It's just used under different circumstances.
Right, the libertarian room is made out of plastic lately, huh?
It's just a gun that has our consent.
Right. Oh, you're talking about printed guns?
Neilzio has that. Neilzio has basically a video to that effect, basically. Libertarianism is no gun in the room.
You know exactly. What? I started watching that video, and to be fair, the content's probably not bad, but after a minute, I was just far too bored to continue watching it.
Yeah, it's really hard to watch his videos and be entertained.
Oh, BitButter, there's a potential. So if you like voluntary or not voluntary, whatever you want to call it, hit me up on the Reddit tubes, please.
So we lost audio for most of Ron's comment, I think.
Sorry, could you repeat that?
Oh, yeah. So speaking of Neil, I brought up that there was a potential meetup opportunity for the two of you guys, both being in the Netherlands, as I understand it.
Oh, sure. We've met before.
Oh, very good. And I took a selfish opportunity to promote a meetup that I'm putting together, or I promised Redo I would, for June 1st in the San Francisco Bay Area. So if anyone's hearing this before that, hit me up on the Reddit tubes. Where did you guys meet up in Bitbutter?
You came over to my place. It was a while back. We don't see each other often. In fact, lately I think we disagree strongly about Bitcoin.
Oh yes.
As you're on the decline to state side, I take it.
I'm guessing so. That's the pro Bitcoin side, right?
Wait a second. I can't believe it.
Talk about it nonstop side.
It's been 18 minutes since we started the show that we've mentioned Bitcoin. This is a new record.
This is a ding 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 ding. Oh my god!
Did we mention it during the main show?
Nope.
Oh my gosh! Yeah, this is a record.
Wow.
That's the other thing, Bitbutter, that you're going to enjoy from the David Friedman cast is, I mean, primarily, he talked about his jealousy that he didn't have a video, and how the deep, forlorn emotion he felt. I would be despondent as well. And then later, he actually had to tell us that he'd had enough of talking about Bitcoin, which was classic.
Oops.
I think my colleagues at the co-working space have the same feeling towards me right now as well.
I have a question. Which country does Nilsio live? Because I thought he lived in the U.S.
No, he's in Holland.
Really? Well, that makes sense, right? But, you know, wow, I had no idea.
Yeah, I had a little bit of confusion too. I'd been to that region of the world, but I wasn't sure if he was Scandinavian or not. But yes, he's indeed.
Well, his
Dutch.
English is pretty good. He's pretty good. And Neil's wife, is she from the Netherlands as well? Sorry,
I was going to ask about her also, because she's got an American accent.
She does.
I believe she's from the U.S. Yeah.
Wow.
Taking our women. And I guess you are.
Now there are three female voluntarists in the U.S., down from four.
Oh, come on. It's not that pessimistic.
No.
As far as how the Redo, you pointed out that the English, his English is good. I know, Bibo, you spent more, you know, you've obviously spent more time in Europe, but I guess the way it works is they have movies. I mean, the way that they do things is bigger countries like France, Germany, Spain, you know, they have movies and TV. It all gets redubbed into their own native languages. Countries such as Holland, you know, Scandinavia, you know, Denmark, Sweden, Norway, I'm not sure about Finland, but I would think so. It's not a big enough market. I mean, I think Holland is like 16 million people, but still quite not there. And they get the movies in the original language. Things make sense to them. Their ears are very finely trained to American English, obviously, and their English ends up being better.
Yeah, absolutely. I think pretty much everyone in the Netherlands that I meet, their English is really good.
Do movies get dubbed into British English? I'm just curious.
No, you're not.
By the way, Northern England, this is dumb, but Manchester would fall into that category? Or
Close. Closest major city is Leeds. That's where I grew up, in a place called Huddersfield.
Can't say I've been there, but okay.
No, you wouldn't have been there.
And do you have any positive or negative views about the Welsh and the Scottish? We're trying to be provocative radio here.
These people behind these lines on the map, you mean?
Exactly.
No, of course.
That's
not.
One thing that I learned, and I guess before I went full retard into voluntarism or whatever we want to call what we the views we cling dearly to. I would, you know, I traveled. I think I've been to maybe like 21 countries in total, including, you know, the U.S. But I going through Europe, where there's so many country lines, you always the same effect where I just kind of had this open-minded view that we've talked about on this cast, like about the discussion and kind of just, oh, I'm inquisitive. I'm learning about what your perspective are. And invariably, every person would tell me that, oh, the people on that side of the line are stupid for this reason. And I'm like, oh, that's funny because they just told me the same thing about you or a slightly different variant. You just kind of zigzag across countries and you learn that, okay, so the Norwegians think this of the Swedish and the Swedish think this of the Norwegians. And apparently the people from Denmark talk like they have a baked potato in their mouth and they can understand the Swedish and the Norwegians, but not vice versa. And then people in Holland and blah, 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 blah. And you're just like,
it's such a shame. Yeah. And you totally unnecessary. I think
a lot of it, if not all of it, is unnecessary. Yeah, absolutely. It's like, it's just status trivia. I mean, differences among people and differences among language, a lot of that's organic and interesting and lovely to learn about. But then when you can, even from the ground level talking to people, you can kind of glean that some of it is propaganda, that some of that is just what you're told to not like those people. It's it's kind of tragic. I agree.
Yeah, absolutely.
And you have these like interactions within the state of Virginia. I can drive an hour south and there are people I literally can't understand because their southern accent is so thick. and these people in Canada, they're supposed to be like under a different moral authority. Like, what?
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to the release of Free Domain Radio's movie because in the movie there's a section precisely about that. And from the little bit that I've seen, which is the short kind of the intro that's posted on Steph's channel, the treatment seems to be fairly straightforward, fairly fairly plain, fairly direct, not much bullshit, not many rational arguments, like stuff that's really difficult to understand. It's just really, really down-to-earth treatment of this very thing that we're discussing right now, and I'm really looking forward to seeing that. Hello?
Disclaimer, yeah, Rutto is a molinoid. Take everything he said with a grain of salt. No, I'm just kidding.
So anyone of you guys have donated to stuff lately, in light of what's going on with him?
I haven't donated since he came on the show, actually. I probably should.
You might want to.
I don't have income right now. So as soon as I get a job, yeah, I am on a non-paid portion of my grad school.
You're an academic. You don't get paid. You failed to understand how this works.
Hey, how much money have donations for your videos brought in, Bitbutter? If you don't mind me asking.
No, sure. So I think the target for both crowdfunding campaigns was $5,000. The first one fell short of that, and the second one got a bit more than that.
That's pretty cool.
Very cool. It's pretty good, yeah.
It's okay, yeah. It's nice. Yeah, it's... In my head, the idea was that I would be that would fund time to work on them with undivided attention, at least for a short while. In reality, it really hasn't worked out that way. It's been
in reality, undivided attention doesn't really exist.
That's true, but this didn't even come close. It's like so essentially, it was kind of interleaved with both the production of both crowdfunded videos was kind of interleaved with commissioned projects. So it was really kind of broken up a little bit more than I would have ideally wanted it.
Good things are coming though. I can feel it. Soon you're gonna have. Maybe the next project will have more crowdfunding.
Yeah, it seems to go better each time. I think the next one, or at least the next one, yeah. Well, for sure, the next one I'm going to do will be a Bitcoin video. That's because that's already been crowdfunded successfully. And I'm working on the script for that at the moment. But after that, I think the next one will not be part of the George Ought to Help series. I think it will be something stylistically different, at least.
You're tired of these restraining shackles. It's time to set free.
A little, kind of. I'd like to see what would happen if I start again.
That's cool. I remember your post, actually, about the Bitcoin one. And if there ever was a fervent community on Reddit, that would be it right now. Formerly, R. Ron Paul had that kind of intensity. Now it's R. Bitcoin.
It's a funny mix on Bitcoin too. It's I don't know. It's I find that quite interesting. Like obviously there are a lot of libertarians there. There are also quite a few statists too.
Right. Yeah,
I expected there to be like it to just be like, you know, purist libertarian activists who, you know, like hated the state, and then it just totally wasn't.
It's interesting, right? I mean, I remember that one Bitcoin cast, and we did. I mean, actually, that's every cast we do is about Bitcoin. But Roto and I were just, I think we were kind of lamenting the same view, like facepalming the fact that these people on our Bitcoin are like, now, guys, remember to report all your increases in Bitcoin value to the government because they need to know. And we're just like, no, you're not getting the point. You're totally
doing it wrong.
Yeah, you're doing Bitcoin wrong.
Yeah, you know, some of the most interesting, you know, there's that sort of circle jerky subreddit, like our shit statists say. And yeah, some of the best ones have been ones that Rutto has linked from our Bitcoin.
Oh my god, it's amazing, isn't it?
Yeah, no, it really is amazing. Like, maybe it's just being in this environment where they're so frequently like confronted with the fact that their act is defiantly anti-statist that they have to just be like morally right. defensive in favor of the state to a greater extent than elsewhere.
Yeah, that's a tricky position to be in, I guess.
Ooh, so how, I guess that kind of puts it to you, if you're going to do a video on Bitcoin, how, I guess I don't like the word politically, but how view neutral are you going to be? Are you just going to present it and try to imbue the viewer with knowledge of how Bitcoin works in a way that makes them feel comfortable enough to use it? Mm-hmm. Or are you going to maybe suggest a little, some of this libertarian underpinning that we all feel is kind of there?
Not an awful lot. I don't think it's necessary. I'll talk about why people are excited about it a little bit. I'll speak a little bit about you know, what's like in general terms, what's possible with it, why it's significant. But the bulk of it will be given over to explaining how the transaction signing works and how the blockchain works and what mining means. So those things. So the idea is that someone who's interested in it, who feels not quite satisfied with the what is Bitcoin videos, but who is intimidated by the Khan Academy Bitcoin series, it aims to be somewhere between those two.
Very cool.
Buy today. 5 will get you 10. 10 will get you 20. You can't pass it up. It's a great deal. Invest today.
Oh, you charlatan, Quash. I'll take 2.
Yeah, so what do you guys think about that? The seizure of MT Gox's Dwal account?
It seems not to be understood by much of Reddit, from what I've read. They're just saying, oh, they just forgot to file some paperwork. It's no big deal.
Yeah, see,
but right, they had to declare themselves as a money transmitter or something, right?
Yeah, yeah. Well, it's the very reason that they pushed the FinCEN stuff, you know, several weeks ago. They intended to do this, so they are definitely going after Mt. Gox, I think.
Well, this makes it final, though. Bitcoin is money. Debate can be settled.
Yeah, well, if you're using the government's definition, sure.
Yeah, no, I was being,
no, I know, bad jokes. But people, yeah, they, you know, it's, again, it's the antithesis. They're looking for the state for guidance while using an anti-state tool, you know.
That would be funny, though, if it were actually just paperwork that Mt. Gox had forgotten to submit or something.
It's not that they forgot to submit. It's allegedly that they just didn't submit the... It's not that they forgot. It's that they didn't want to submit the stupid money transmitter license. And so, since they were allegedly operating as a money transmitter, then they, you know, they got their account closed, because that's what the terrorists do. If you don't obey what they say, they'll fuck with you, right?
Yeah. Is that really plausible, though? My impression is not that Mt. Gox positions itself as that kind of organization, right?
Well, it doesn't matter.
It doesn't really matter, because they believe so. I mean, they have said, yeah, you guys are that organization, regardless of what reality or the facts or the law says. It doesn't really matter. These guys said, you know, well, we think you are, so fuck you, we're going to take your money away. That's essentially what's going on.
No, sorry, I meant something different. I meant the obvious thing, I guess the business sense thing to do for Mt. Gox is to be compliant with this new law, right? And nothing in their communications has given me the impression, at least, that they have any kind of radical tendencies?
Well, it's probably because if they express radical tendencies, they, you know, they might just lose customers and stuff like that. They're just going to be very cautious about what they say. They really don't have much to lose except for, you know, customers' money in that account, because they're actually based in Japan, and what got seized is just the bank account of their U.S. subsidiary, right?
Yeah.
Well, it does. Doesn't even matter, though. I mean, paperwork is kind of a farce, because look at what happened to Cody Wilson. I mean, he filed all the paperwork, and they just came up with a new rule, you know?
Yeah, it's a farce.
Yeah, it's bureaucracy. They're going to do what they want to do. Like, especially when there's a bureaucrat involved who just wants to make a name for himself, or just feels like he needs to make himself necessary.
You're just a bureaucrat.
You're engaging in digital jaywalking.
Have you seen the NashX.com site?
No, what is that?
It's a peer-to-peer Bitcoin trading platform, I guess. And it tries to set, or it sets up a Nash equilibrium between the two traders so that they can trust that they will, that the trade will happen. It seems quite interesting.
Hey, that's pretty cool. That's pretty cool. Thank you. Put it in the chat, please. Yes.
Yeah, so I like the idea of that site. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, it looks interesting.
Like, I mean, I'm not a Bitcoin user myself, but one of the things I remember commenting to Eternal is that there really needs to be a peer-to-peer exchange. That's sort of like one of the developments that there's sort of like, there ought to be market demand for, and this is an idea at that. That's cool.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know really what the scale of this can be reasonably expected to be, but yeah, it would be fantastic if something like that worked out on a large scale.
Man, sorry, my gin and tonic is putting me to sleep.
What?
I know.
Take care of your malaria.
All right, guys, we should call it a night because I'm kind of going to sleep too.
Yeah. I see how it is, Reto.
I had a pretty long day, and this long day needs to go away. But I don't have the benefit of gin and tonic at home.
Yeah, man. Wait, if you don't mind talking about it on the air, are your trials with the state something you feel comfortable talking about on the air?
Yeah, sure, absolutely. Just
so what's been going
give
on?
You, yeah, a quick recap. I went to Marion County when this officer, Georges, gave me 3 tickets in a row and threatened to arrest me for impersonating a police officer. And I was going to fight those tickets using Mark Stevens' method, but I was enduring this horrible flu last week, and I was also super busy with work, so I just decided to pay them off, and that ended up costing me about $600. That's how much they robbed me last week. Yeah. Can you believe that shit?
Why did he say impersonating a police officer? Maybe I missed this part.
Because I drive the Knight Rider car, and the Knight Rider car has a front light scanner that looks like the Knight Rider light scanner, right? In the nose of the car.
Wait, you're not a police officer?
Well, I have never been licensed to kill people that disobey me, so no.
That's true, yeah.
That's horrible. No, that's what cops do, though. I mean, they'll give you, like, a serious-sounding violation and then some tickets. And then correct. They'll never follow through on the serious crap, and they'll make you pay. And so you'll be so incentivized to pay the tickets, like, at least I'm not getting the serious thing.
Quick question for you guys. In the I saw a story lately about you. I'm sure you know about it. About a guy who was attacked on the metro by a serial killer and pinned him down, and the police got him. The point of the story was, though, that as he was being attacked, a couple of feet away behind in the engineer's cabin, there were 2 police officers there who didn't intervene while he was being stabbed by the killer. It was taken to a court. After the guy recovered, he tried to sue New York City, I believe. And the judge ruled that the police officers in the cabin had no legal obligation to intervene to protect him.
That's correct, yes.
Right. That's common case law here. That's like no right. obligation to protect.
Yeah. My question was just that. Is this the case pretty much throughout the U.S.?
Yes, that's precedent.
this, yeah, okay. It's a legal decision made by the cultists that call themselves the Supreme Court, and it's being repeatedly affirmed by them. Because, of course, you see, you have an obligation to obey them. It's not a general obligation to obey them. You actually have to obey everything they tell you. But you see, in exchange for your obedience, which they call allegiance, right, you get protection. But the protection is not for you specifically. The protection is for the general public. So imagine you were, you know, if you were a, and I'm just paraphrasing Mark Stevens here, if you were an insurance agent and I came to you to make an insurance claim and I told you, well, you see, my insurance protection, my duty to insure you is not to you, but, you know, to the general public, to everyone. That's my duty to insure. So you can take, you know, your insurance and shove it up your ass.
Yeah, you wouldn't trade with this person, of course.
Of course not. When you're forced to trade with these people, well, you get this kind of thing, right?
Hey guys, I just got back. Has the show started yet?
We can't get the server running. The studio's not working. You were supposed to fix it.
How's it going, Eternal?
Not too bad.
Not too bad, okay. That was spoken energetically and enthusiastically there.
Nah, I'm a little tired. It's a little late.
Yeah, no, you should definitely go and read some of like the logic that was given to the Supreme Court in those no obligation to protect cases. It's like, it's random stuff like, well, the police don't have to intervene in any particular situation because the lives of the police officers is connected to the good of society and the general public because they can in the future intervene.
If they choose to.
Yeah.
If they don't judge their future safety as being more important then as well, yeah.
It's the kind of sophistry that you'd expect from people who know that they, you know, they just have to say some bullshit, it's random, because nothing bad is going to happen to them anyway, so they don't give a shit. They can just tell you, well, yeah, there's no duty to protect you because the moon, right? The moon, under you understand, and of course, the roads.
The road is.
Things get more difficult though with this approach. I mean, people when they find that out, I think they're quite shocked by it. Like this story in particular, where it's so obviously, you know, happening right in front of their faces and they're not intervening. And compared to, I saw a story also lately about this more or less private defense agency in Detroit, who do seem to be doing really well. Like these kind of contrasts are going to be harder to ignore as time goes on.
Yeah, I think it would be a mistake to interpret their louder vocal criticisms as like sort of being counterproductive, because that really just means that they're closer to coming to the realization that they were wrong, I guess.
I suppose, yeah.
Or at least I can be hopeful.
I think it's about that time again.
Wind down. This is the first time in a while we've almost done a full 2 hours.
I was surprised that you guys were still going strong when I got back from the store.
Yeah, well, that's what happens. This will be a good one for the AnCapstan home community, I think.
Yeah, I agree.
Get to hear Circle Jerk with Bitbutter and Reto. The mutual congratulations. Reto raging about. I'm a little jealous I didn't get to get Sandwich in the Middle is all. Don't worry about me. But
Sandwich in the Middle of all that circle jerking?
Yes.
I that saw a video like Reddit. That once.
Ronald McBukaki.
Uh-oh.
He said it.
It's all okay. Right. It's
the stream. We're done here.
It's the end of the after show. These kind of things you can get away with. The beginning of the show, we're still informal, but not to quite that extent. Thanks Bitbutter for coming on. What time is it, by the pray tell, where you
it's,
are?
It's 10 to 6 in the morning now.
Wow.
Okay.
Oh, wow.
You're probably more of a morning person than the rest of us folk, but which helps.
Yeah, maybe.
I remember on Pacific Status Time, I got up at 7 one weekend on a Saturday to talk to you with a Mr. Rock and Mr. E, or at least I was kind of in the background. That was probably the roughest one on the end time.
Yes, getting up early is not the way to do it. I just work through the night this time. I think that's much more a civilized approach.
Very good.
You can call him a morning person because he stays up until the morning.
There you go. Spoken like a true Englishman, civilized. Well, I'm glad I didn't get interrupted, but yeah, that's been fun. Always decline to state. This has been the after show, one of the most full up shows you've had in quite a while. So thanks everybody for the good discussion.
Thank you.
Yeah, thanks for coming on, Bitbutter.
Have a great night, guys.
Night, everybody.
What's up, Bitbutter?
Later.
Good night.